I'm Brian Clark, ABC News, with the president's weekly address.
When America made 12 years of public education universal in the last century, we became, not figuratively, literally the best educated public in the world and better prepared than any other nation. And I would argue that it's one of the reasons why we were so successful and have been so successful. But as you've all observed, other nations have caught up. In the 21st century, in my view, I think the vast majority of Americans, 12 years of universal education is not enough. And that we're going to be outcompeted by the rest of the world if we don't take action. But here's the deal. The cost of education beyond high school has gone up significantly. The total cost to attend a public four-year university has tripled, nearly tripled in 40 years. Tripled. Instead of properly funding public colleges, many states have cut back their support. We're just talking about that in the Oval. Many states have cut back support for their state universities, leaving students to pick up more of the tab. And for 50 years, Pell Grants had been a key way for the federal government to help lower-income families, particularly those earning less than $60,000 a year to send their kids to college. Those Pell Grants used to cover 80% of the cost of going to a public four-year college. Today, Pell Grants cover 32%. That's one-third of the cost as opposed to before. It matters. I remember walking up, and now my dad, like probably a lot of your folks, cared a lot about your education. My dad's greatest regret was that he never got to go to college. And my dad was a very well-read man, particularly history, and but it was a great regret. And he always say, "Joey, you're going to be a college man." And I'd say, "Dad, but what does that matter? I mean, you can still get fired if you're a college man." He said, "Yeah, but they can never take it away from you. They can never take your education away." And I remember my senior year, I got into one of the little Ivies, and I got into a number of schools, and we're trying to get the money, even with financial assistance, to be able to go there. We had four kids, all of us wanting to go to school. And I remember going down after a baseball game. I went to a really good school up in Claymont, Delaware, on the Pennsylvania border. And I drove down to Newark, Delaware, where my dad worked at an automobile agency. And I walked in, and I had my spikes, and because the reason I was going down, when your dad works in an automobile agency, the great advantage, you get a new car to go to the prom, or a good used car off the lot. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. And so I went down in my 51 Plymouth with beach towels for seat covers, and I had my uniform on, my spikes off. I ran in, and the woman's name was Mary, who ran the place. I said, "Mary, where's Dad?" She said, "He's out in the lane going into the repair shop." Give him my word, true story. And my dad was a well-dressed, refined fella, and I walked out, and my dad was pacing back and forth between the big garage door going into the repair shop and the door going out of the showroom. And he looked up, he said, "Oh, Joey, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And I thought, God, something happened. And this is before cell phones. So something happened to one of my brothers or my sister or my mom or something. I said, "What's the matter, Dad?" He said, "I went to see," the guy's name was Charlie Delcher, who was a vice president of the Farmers Bank, which was a state-owned bank that did a lot of the financing of people wanting to purchase a car. So I went to Charlie and asked to borrow the money. He said, "He won't lend it to me." He said, "I'm so ashamed. I'm so damn ashamed." You know, my dad would, you know, my dad was like millions of parents all across the country. Want to help the kids to get to school, but there was just no way to be able to do it. You know, and because he believed, as I do, that education is a ticket to a better life. But over time, that ticket has become too expensive for too many Americans. All this means is an entire generation is now saddled with unsustainable debt in exchange for an attempt, at least, at a college degree. The burden is so heavy that even if you graduate, you may not have access to the middle-class life that the college degree once provided. Many people can't qualify for a mortgage to buy a home because of the debt they continue to carry. They carry it. It's too high. They can't come up with the down payment anyway. A lot of folks are even putting off starting families because of the cost. And the dream of starting your own business is just way off in the distance with the debt so many are saddled with. Here's what my administration is going to do to provide more breathing room for people so they have less burdened by student debt. And quite frankly, to fix the system itself, which we came in, we both acknowledge was broken in terms of, anyway. First, we've made incredible progress advancing America's economic recovery. We've wound down pandemic relief programs, like the ones on unemployment insurance and small businesses. It's time we do the same thing for student loans. Student loan payment pause is going to end. It's going to end December 30. I'm extending to December 31st, 2022, and it's going to end at that time. It's time for the payments to resume. Second, my campaign for president, I made a commitment that would provide student debt relief, and I'm honoring that commitment today. Using the authority Congress granted the Department of Education, we will forgive $10,000 in outstanding federal student loans. In addition, students who come from low-income families, which allowed them to qualify to receive a Pell Grant, will have their debt reduced $20,000. In the coming weeks, the Department of Education will lay out, in detail, a short and simple form to apply for this relief, along with information when this application process opens. And I want to thank you all, and God bless you all. Thank you.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.